The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with Sam Turner, John Babb and Sean Quinn in the studio. We've got Southwell, Hexham and Wolverhampton to look forward to on Tuesday. So do tune in for all of that right now. Though, my name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thanks, Mark.
Good stuff. Right, we're going to start with the Monday jury, as we usually do on this early part of the week, and then we'll move on to Tuesday's action. Mick's picked out three races for us at Hexham, so we'll get his thoughts in a moment. But starting with the Monday jury, Mick, it's very much geared towards the upcoming flat season, which is only a week away from the Lincoln. That's sneaked up on me quite a bit, to be honest.
It certainly has, hasn't it? It's all the excitement of Cheltenham, and all of a sudden they're going down for the Brocklesby.
Yeah, exactly. Starting with the first question, Mick, which horses are you most looking forward to seeing in the upcoming flat season?
Oh, I don't usually make plans that far ahead, Mark. I sort of let it unfold. I do enjoy the seeing the older horses stay in training. You know, like last season, three-year-olds that stay on in training, you know, like the Gold Cup when they've gotten rules and horses like that. Always enjoy seeing them. And again, of course, you've got the exciting new generation coming along. We've got some brilliant two-year-old performances last year, didn't we?
Yep.
And it'd be interesting to see how the pecking order of the two-year-olds, last season's juveniles, in their three-year-old season, pans out. So I've got an open mind and an open, you know, open view on it. But it should be a great season. I think there's plenty of potential stars amongst last year's two-year-old crop.
Okay, Glen Eagles has been well backed recently for the 2,000 guineas.
He has, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's 7-2 at the top of the market now. By the way, are you a fan?
Well, you can't help being a fan, can you? He ran six times, won three Group One. Should have been four, shouldn't it? Got disqualified from the was it Lagardère?
Yeah, on Arkdale, wasn't it?
Which he wouldn't have done here, would he?
No, I don't think he would.
But, I mean, excellent two-year-old form. But he ran six times. Now, does that fit the profile of a guineas winner these days? They're usually a little bit more lightly raced, aren't they?
Interesting.
But there has been plenty of money coming for him, which suggests he might be there, number one. I wouldn't have also been surprised. There's going to be an interesting article in the Racing Post on Tuesday that Joe O'Brien's doing, and we might learn a little bit more from that. I mean, the horse of theirs that I love is John F. Kennedy. I mean, they save all those best names. They've had that name earmarked, like Australia, for about 5-6 years, maybe longer. And they only pop it on what they think is going to be a superstar. And, you know, he showed his a group horse, didn't he, on his final start last year. Whether they'll want to rush him for the guineas, that could, you know. They might just leave him alone. Whereas the other horse, we know, is precocious, and he wouldn't bother him because he's as tough as old boots, Glen Eagles, and he could well be there one for the guineas. But plenty to look forward to on that front, Mark.
Yeah, definitely. And as usual, Hayden O'Brien's got a whole host of them in the betting at the moment.
Yeah.
John F. Kennedy's 8-1, by the way. Would that be more attractive to you if you were having an anti-post bet? Would you?
I think it could be ground dependent as well. I mean, the faster the ground, probably the better for Glen Eagles, because they've got a real quick ground action, whereas I don't think the other horse would worry too much if it wasn't. I think I'll just sit on the fence for a bit on that one, Mark.
Okay. Anybody wants to hear the betting? Glen Eagles is 7-2, 7-1 for Faye Darn. John F. Kennedy is 8, Oman River 9s, 10s for Highland Reel, and Ivorwood 14-1 for Bellardo, and 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. Moving on to the third question, close to hand. Who do you most like for Saturday's Lincoln?
I think the Silver Cambridgeshire at Newmarket last September is the key race to this. We've got the winner, GM Hopkins, and the fourth, Manjol, reopposing. Manjol tried to concede a pound in the Newmarket race to GM Hopkins, was beaten 3¾ lengths. He is £3 better off with GM Hopkins, but that horse has been gelded since then.
Mm.
And he goes well fresh. I just think he's open to any amount of improvement. I do respect Willie Haggerty's runner, don't get me wrong. And Willie, when he targets a race like this, it's folly to oppose. But I do think the race revolves around those two.
Yeah.
I think you nearly want a sort of semi-group horse running in a handicap, and they both could fit that bill, you know.
Yeah, the market's backing that up as well. 6-1 joint favourites, those two.
Can't separate them, can you? Mm. It's difficult, isn't it? I just like the fact that GM Hopkins has been gelded since we last saw him, and that could just eke out. And he's been very quiet about him, Gorson, but, you know, he'll be there. That, you know, 100 grand race this time of year, not to be sneezed at. You're not going to get another 100 grand handicap to Royal Ascot, are you?
Mm. No, that's a good point. Jim Hopkins and Mon Jolwell, 6-1. 10s for Zawan. Gabriel's Kaka is 14-1 with Mind Your Own Business and Muharib, and 20s for Belgian Bill, Bronze Angel, and a whole host of others.
Well, the Bondialis is an interesting one. He's got Group 1 form in France. I just forget who Ciardi came out of now. He's now with David Amara. And I think it was Freddie Head, if I'm not mistaken. Mondialiste. And hasn't run for 10 months. But there has been some shrewdies helping themselves to some fancy prices about this horse. And with that Group 1 form, as I said, you want a group horse nearly to win this mark. Well, he's a proven group horse, isn't he?
Yeah, it was Freddie Head as well, by the way.
Yeah, I thought he was, yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to find his price. Where are we? Mondialiste found it. 20-1 he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that might be worth taking, because I think there could be... David Amara will be anxious to get his season off to a flying start. Mm-hmm. So you know he's going to be cherry ripe for it, don't you? And he's got that Group 1 form in the bag.
Okay. Bit of interesting value there then. Who is your tip for your top tip on the Dubai World Cup card?
Yeah, interesting race, Mark, isn't it? You've got last year's winner, of course, African Story.
Yep.
Who probably sets a standard, doesn't he? He's also proven himself, because he won it on the Tapita, but he's also proven himself at Group 1 level on the new dirt surface, beating his stable companion Prince Bishop quite cosily last time. And he's sure to be a big, big player. They're talking about the American horses. In fact, it was Hamdan, wasn't it, who was saying he wasn't sure that the American horses, California Chrome and Leah, would be suited by the new maiden service.
Yeah.
But apparently the American trainers are making the right noises about their horses. So we shall have to wait and see how it pans out. But at the prices, the one that interests me is Hoko Taramai, the Japanese runner. Now, he came over for the World Cup last year when it was run on the Tapita, finished plumb last, Mark. And 16 of 16, 21 lengths behind African Story. Just obviously was unsuited to the Tapita, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Because he bounced straight back from that when he went back to his native Japan, finishing fourth. Just probably needed that because it left him alone since March. And then he won three straight grade ones on the dirt. And he's won 7 grade ones on the dirt in total, this horse.
Mm. Dirt specialist.
And the evidence is that he's a better horse than when they came over here last year. So he could well outrun his likely price. My only concern is that these Japanese jockeys don't seem to travel, do they? And, I mean, it was bizarre last year. I would imagine Miyuki's riding again. I haven't had that confirmed, but he's been on board for all of his... most of his wins, all bar one, anyway.
Yeah.
And I would imagine he'll come over and ride. But I just on a value point, he's some horse this, you know. And... he's won over $5.5 million in prize money. He's won 12 of his 21 starts, all at the sharp end, Mark. And he's been placed 6 times as well. So he's battle-hardened. He's got bags of ability. He's effective at the trip. And he loves the dirt. So what sort of price is he?
He is, if you bear with me a second, 11 to 1.
Yeah, that's only because nobody can say his name, isn't it? So they'll leave him alone, don't they?
Yeah.
They'll have something nice and easy to say. But you try it, clear your throat, and they say, hot how am I? And see what happens.
Fair enough. He went off 100 to 1 on, by the way, for his last start. And, yeah. So if you're getting 11 to 1 about him, that might be a bit of value. Okay, so a bit of value in there. Do you fancy Richard Hughes to go out in a blaze of glory by lifting a fourth flat jockey's title?
I think he'd be desperate too if he can, won't he? And with the new sanitised version of the jockey's title, jockey's light title, I think it is. it's all political, isn't it? And I do think, I totally agree with Lee Motter's head piece in the Racing Post about sticking a 25 grand. I mean, what's 25 grand to these top jocks?
They shouldn't be doing it for the money anyway, should they?
Of course they shouldn't, and it's an absolute insult. Yeah. They ought to be thinking about addressing the paltry state of National Hunt Racing in the North instead of already pandering to rich people with already more money they can possibly spend. But I'm afraid that's the way of life, isn't it? But no, to be honest, I don't care. If he wins, he wins, and good luck to him. But they've devalued it for me, and whoever wins it, it won't make any impact on me.
Okay. Well, that kind of the final question. Give us your view on the some of the turf season no longer counting. I'm guessing you're not happy about it.
I just don't understand it. I just do not get the point. Now we're a 12-month industry now with flat racing. Those jockeys who don't want to ride on the all weather, which I can see why. Some of them got commitments in Dubai. It's tough. But I notice they come back when there's a 50 grand race on offer at on special weekends, don't they? Yeah. They're riding that, the Buicks and the Moors and the Doyles, etc. They don't stay in Dubai then, do they? They're back at Lingfield for those. So I just don't get it. I think it's devaluing the work that the boys who ride all the year round on the all weather. Mm. I think it's devaluing the work they put in. I mean, Adam Kirby is just going to write 75 winners, and Luke Morris, 75 winners off of his CV for the year. Because of what? Because of a political decision made for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
I think I've said enough on it, don't you?
Okay, let's move on. Let's look ahead to Tuesday's action then. Mick's got three races picked out for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
You can now listen to William Hill's three radio stations on the go. Just download the William Hill app and you can hear the tips and bet in one place on your phone or tablet. All you do is click the sports menu on the left-hand side, select radio, and touch the horse to pick your station. William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Tuesday's action. And Mick's picked out three at Hexham for us, starting in the 3:35, which is a Class 5 handicap chase over 3 miles and 1 furlong. We've got a field of 12 here, Mick. Which one do you like?
Yeah, well, I tell you, it's a 0-100 mark. I think you know what's upcoming here, don't you? We've got some horses definitely on the downgrade, maybe one or two on the upgrade. I've tried to sort of narrow it down to a short list. I've gone really for horses in some sort of form. We'll go through them in race card order. Willie Hall's 11 years old now, but he ran his best race for some time last time for his battling Hexham win. He did go up £5 for that, but his mark is now gone to 90. But it's worth remembering that back in 2012, he was racing off marks in the 115s, if you like. And on the evidence of the Hexham win, he hasn't gone back that far. So he's still a player off 90 in this week contest. Apache Pilot, he's got at least the merit of being younger than the rest of the field. Trained by Maurice Barnes, Badger McAllister taking the ride. He was £7 wrong when he won that Newcastle race last time. So he's effectively here only £5 higher off 89. And a reproduction of that run, which was a step forward, might well do. And I think it's worth noting as well that he did run well to finish second in his only previous visit to the track. Mm. So, and this is it. I've got to keep stressing, Mark, this is a very winnable race. The other one who comes here in good order is Nail Him, who has gone up from 76 to 83 for that Taos to win, but does look still to have scope from this mark. Harriet Bethel training and Jonathan England, who's taken off a useful £3. Jonathan was on board Nail Him at Toaster last time. And Nail Him, receiving weight from Apache Pilot, does rate the danger. But I do think that now Apache Pilot's got his head in front, he may well be able to go on again. So Apache Pilot gets the vote, but there's not much between him and Nail Him.
Okay. Apache Pilot then in the 3.35. Moving on to the 4.10 next, which is a Class 4 handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. 12 of them in the lineup here, Mick. And again, it's not much winning form on offer here.
So. Absolutely. The one that did catch the eye, though, albeit in it's a lowly level, was Palm Grey, trained by Sue Smith, who steered on really well from the rear last time at Newcastle. You know, it was a fair way. You have a look back at the race, and it was a fair way back turning in. He got up pace when the race quickened up. That was only 2 miles. He kept on well, jumped the last really well, and took second place on the running. No chance of catching the winner, but he's gone up a pound, that's all, which the handicapper could have hit him a bit harder. And this step up to 2.5 on that evidence looks to be ideal. So I think you know, any sort of. Even a reproduction of that and any sort of improvement for the step-up in trip, and he should be good enough to win a very weak race. Surprise Vendor, he can front run, but he just looks held by the handicapper, doesn't get much respite for his consistency. Gorland's Choice looks harshly treated on the bare form, but this is very weak, and didn't run too badly at Kelso last time we saw him. He got himself behind early on, kept on to finish. He was fifth in the end, but you know, in such a weak race, I can't leave him out. So I just think it's Palm Grey's to lose if he reproduces that Newcastle performance, and with the extra half mile trip to suit, I'm fairly confident.
Okay, Palm Grey for Mick in the 4.10 then. And onto the 4.45 next. This one is a Class 5 handicap chase over 2.5 miles. Another Sooth Smith runner with a decent chance in Brother Scott, Mick.
Exactly, yeah. He's down in grade after disappointing in Warwick in Class 4 last time, but he was out of his comfort zone that day.
Yeah.
And this better ground that he's going to encounter on Tuesday, better than he's been running on of late, will help. And if he turns up on the same sort of form as any of his three runs prior to Warwick, the disappointment at Warwick, he should be good enough to win this. I mean, you've got Bescot Springs as one of the market leaders. He rarely strings two good efforts together these days, but he is a player if he does. Oxalido, 13 years old now, back to the scene of his win 2 outings ago, but it was only 4 days ago when he bombed out big time in a hurdle race at Sedgefield, where he was beaten nearly 50 lengths. So, basically, if Brother Scott keeps breathing, he's got to win this for me.
Okay. Brother Scott then for Mick in that one. Let's have a quick summary, Mick, if you'll spin us through your selections for Tuesday one more time.
Yeah, not great days racing at Hexham, has got to be said, but at least we've got some nice each-way shapes to the races, and I'm looking to Apache Pilot to supplement his Newcastle gains in the 3.35. And hoping Palm Grey can make it the first leg of a Sue Smith double in the 4.10, followed half an hour later by her brother Scott in the 4.45.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Mick. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. with Sam Turner, John Babb and Sean Quinn in the studio. It's Southwell and Hexham over the obstacles. We've also got all other racing at Wolverhampton. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.